Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
New research shows that being shouted at by parents can reshape a child's brain, raising the risk of mental health issues and social difficulties. And its MPs at Westminster are going to hear this today from experts in child development, that children may struggle to maintain friendships, even pleasure, if they experience what's described as verbal abuse from parents, people like their teachers, their mum and dad, and their group pastime or activity leaders. And I just love to chat to parents about this today. It's 1800 453 106. That's the number. Jana is with us on the line. Jana, I suppose, how do you enforce a level of discipline in the household?
Yeah, I think that shouting can be damaging to children, to their self-esteem, their comfort level with their parents, their anxiety levels. So I don't agree that shouting is healthy for children. But like any parent, parents are only human. And sometimes, you know, if a parent asks their kid 10 times to tidy the playroom and they just, you get the eye rolls or they don't do it, it's natural at times you may raise your voice. I think raising your voice the odd time versus shouting constantly is a completely different thing. What I would have very strong views on, and I see a big gap now with parenting from just children I see even in the parks and the playgrounds, is children lack boundaries and discipline now. I think parents are too quick to put their children in cotton wool and be afraid of giving their children any discipline or boundaries. And you see these children running around with no manners, no respect, no responsibility. So my style of parenting, although it's not perfect, I don't think any parent is.
Yeah, yeah.
We have tired days. We have days when the kids don't listen. But I make it a habit to not shout at the children and to try to, you know, teach them responsibility, explain their important part of being, you know, part of the team in the household, part of the family. But of course, if they don't tidy, you might raise your voice the odd time. But it's different to be able to speak in an assertive tone versus parents who shout on a day-to-day basis. I think the day-to-day shouting, the kids learn not to hear it. They learn to block it, and they won't actually listen if it's a constant shouting versus sitting down and understanding, you know, why they're behaving in a certain way or not listening or and such. So I don't believe shouting is the answer.
But I think you make an interesting point there, because I think a lot of people will hear this today, right? And I think privately there's probably a little bit of an eye roll going on at the kitchen table, or if they're driving in their car listening to us talking about, does shouting at your children affect their mental health? But there is a difference between, I think, shouting at somebody and being able to show a level of authority, you know, or a level of discipline that might be required by the tone of your voice. They're different things.
Absolutely. And my children, I mean, they're only 6 and 9. They're still very small and they are very respectful. They have their daily chores, their age appropriate chores, their responsibilities, and they're wonderful children. And, you know, when they go to other parents, you know, homes, I get compliments that they're really well mannered. They listen, they show respect, et cetera. But they're not perfect children. No child should aim to be perfect. Perfection is a barrier. So just like parenting, nobody's perfect. But I think that if you, you know, explain to your children why you're asking them to do something. And, you know, if you do shout, it's okay to say, I'm really sorry I shouted. I'm really sorry I raised my voice. I'm tired. You weren't listening. Let's work on this together. And they realize you're only human. You're not perfect either. So, but I do think that the level of respect and setting those boundaries is so important. Parents should not be afraid to say to their child, and I said this to mine a few times recently, I am not your friend. I'm not your pal. I'm your parent. I'm your mother, not your friend. You have plenty of time for friends as a child in your childhood, but you only have one mother. And I think when they're older, looking back, and as I look back in my childhood, I was very glad to have parents who set the levels of expectation, and they were parents, not my friends. I think that's really important for parents to take away, is your job isn't to be their pal.
Alwyn Moran is with us too, Jana. Stay with us. Alwyn's a neurodevelopmental therapist and the founder of Cogni Kids. What's your view on this about parents shouting at their children, and does it really affect their mental health, Alwyn?
Oh, it absolutely does. And I loved listening to Jana there and just explaining her kind of parenting style, which is, you know, it's an authoritative style of parenting versus an authoritarian style. And actually, research shows that it's the authoritative kind of parenting style that actually is best for our children. Kids work and operate much better once they have boundaries, and clear boundaries that are communicated to them. And this is a lot of the problem. A lot of the problem comes down to actually, you know, the parents being dysregulated or frustrated, and they lose the rag, and then they end up shouting. And this is shouting on a regular basis. As Jana said, there's, you know, there is a huge difference between losing the temper every so often, or using shouting as a parenting technique.
And or raising your voice about bedtime or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But the key thing with that is, you know, as a parent, so we have to remember that our children, we have mirror neurons. So our brains sync to the people that we are around. And our children are wired to learn from us. So if we as a parent are using shouting as a parenting technique, we're teaching our children that this is how you deal with big emotions. This is how you deal with issues. This is how you deal with disappointment. This is how you deal with upset. You shout. And then the parents are frustrated because their kids aren't compliant and they're shouting and they're, you know, and so on. But actually, if you look at it, it is a self-serving circle almost. So the really important thing as a parent is, yeah, of course, we are absolutely all human. And we do, you know, sometimes you're tired, you're a bit stressed, you're hungry or hangry, you know, and you maybe have the weight of the world on your own shoulders, and you just don't have the capacity to deal with the boundary pushing that children are supposed to be doing to us as parents. They're supposed to push boundaries. That's a good, healthy sign. But some days we just snap and we're like, oh, for God's sake, if I have to, you know, and you have that.
I have to tell you one more time.
Yes. But you know what? The key thing there is, so that's fine. It's OK. But the most crucial thing is to come back and repair. It's called rupture repair. So you rupture the relationship. But actually, it's the repair that deepens it. So you're making them understand, you know, you lose the rag. There's tears, yours, theirs, you know, a bit of chaos, whatever. Then when things calm down, however long it may be, you come back and you say, listen, I'm super sorry. I, you know, X, Y, and Z. Now, I should be able to handle my own emotions. It just got the better of me. I apologize that I upset you. However, and then you explain the behavior that caused the upset again, you know. So it might be, you know, I have asked you 25 times to move that sweater or, pack the dishwasher or whatever, and I just can't take it. And it's the repairing part that really deepens that relationship and saying sorry. So you're modeling a really good, healthy behavior for your children, because you can show your children you don't have to be perfect. You can lose the rag, or you can, you know, make a mistake, whatever. You're not going to shame them. And it's OK to come back and own that behavior and apologize and say, I am sorry. Where the harm really occurs is when there's a consistent barrage of shouting and no apologies. It dysregulates the children's nervous system.
Well,
it's coming from a dysregulated parent.
When you say that, there's a text here from a listener, Alwyn, who says, I was actually screamed and roared at every day by my foster parents. I wasn't a bad kid. Different between giving out to a child and mental torture on a daily basis. Being told you're hated really has a massive effect on mental health down through the years. And it still affects me now every day in my 50s, says this listener.
Absolutely. And that, you know, that's what you're kind of, you know, you're not equipping children to understand that it's okay to mess up. We're all here. We're all learning. We're all learning. Like, as parents, we shouldn't be, oh, I know everything and I'm perfect and I'm the perfect being. We have to understand, how were we parented? We were parented probably roaring and yelling and shouting and whatever else, you know? And just remember, how did that actually make you feel? Does it make you feel empowered or disempowered? Did it make you feel shame?
What would
Did
you
it
do
give
differently?
You a voice? Did it make you? Absolutely. Do you want to put that onto your child? If you don't, then figure out and tap into, what are my triggers? How can I regulate myself so that I can model the behavior for my child? Because that's the critical thing. We need to be equipping our children to manage in the world as they grow and develop.
Stay with us, Alwyn. Grania's on the line. What's your view on this, Grania?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, just don't shout at your kids. I know it's easy to say it, and we all have different levels of tolerances and all the rest of it. But if you're somebody who would regularly shout at their child or children, the damage that you do is horrendous. So stop and think for a minute of how you're making that child feel in that moment, because you are too frustrated to be able to cope with whatever it is, handle it differently. Leave the room. Go outside, walk around for a few minutes, get a breath of fresh air, give yourself a minute or two to calm down and remind yourself not to be triggered when you go back inside. The child is the innocent party. They're learning from you and your behaviours. And if you just stopped and realised how terrified a child who is shouted at regularly feels and how you diminish them each time you shout at them, then maybe that might be enough to make some people stop and think.
I want to go back just to a point that Jana, you mentioned a few moments ago, and I'm sort of paraphrasing, but Alwyn, you might have a view on this, because a lot of our listeners have actually got in touch in agreement with Jana about this, saying that, you know, they notice in the likes of the playground, the school playground as well, you know, creches, play areas, etc., that there's little discipline between parents and their children, and that a lot of kids, I think Jana, you said, sort of nearly like wrapped in cotton wool, you know, that...
Yeah, there's wrapped in cotton wool, but there's a fear to discipline. Like, my child was bullied recently at school. My little girl came home crying a few times, and one of the girls on the bus pushed her on the floor, punched her. She came home bruised and crying and everything. And I messaged the mother and said, just want to let you know this happened. And the mother said, I'll chat with her. That's fine. Whereas if a mother told me that my daughter had pushed and punched her child and she fell on the floor and came home crying, I would be absolutely apologetic. I would probably show up at the mother's house with a tin of biscuits to say, I am so sorry. That's not how I raised my daughter. But there's almost this either too busy to care, or just they don't want to admit that their child did something wrong. Or maybe their life is such in such a chaotic state. Both parents are working. They don't have the luxury of having one parent at home full time with the children, like I'm with my children full time at the moment, the last 10 years. You know, but there's this lack of wanting to discipline a child. There's a just, I'm too busy, don't care, don't want to know. And it makes such a difference when you're like, you're that mom at the playground and you see a kid push another child or say something really nasty. And even your own children looking, going, that's not nice. Why did they do that? And it makes you feel really good when you do have children who notice other children having bad manners. Not to say my children are perfect. They're not. But we do the best that we can.
Alwyn, what's your intervention or your view on this?
Yeah, that would be a very kind of passive or permissive style of parenting, which isn't great. There's no boundaries put in place. And I actually think, Jana, you alluded to that earlier on around the boundaries. We operate, our brains are much happier when we know our expectations, like what is expected of us. So our children operate in the same way. Boundaries are actually healthy. They're really, really important. You can't have a non-boundary approach to raising healthy children. You just can't. The brains aren't able for it. They need to have these little guardrails in almost. It is their job then, as they grow and develop, to kind of push those boundaries and to nudge and to, you know, ask for a little bit more freedom, or, you know, try to make their own personalities and so on. That's the whole point of boundaries and expectations. But in terms of going out, I would agree. I think parents often tend to forget to put expectations in of the behaviors that they want to see in their children. So let's say they're going to going to a restaurant or going out or something for an afternoon. A lot of parents will focus on, they'll be like, don't run, don't shout, don't, you know, this, that and the other. Instead of focusing on the behavior they don't want to see, what actually works better for children is when you focus and you tell them about the behavior that you do want to see. So instead of saying, you know, don't run, because all they hear is run, so they're like, cool, I'm going to run. Instead say, okay, right, so now we're here. So what I want you to do is I want you to hold my hand. I want you to walk. I want you to use your inside voice. You know, I want you to sit at the table and we're going to eat dinner. I want, you know, this kind of thing. So you're giving them the behavior that they need to operate towards. And kids will rise to the challenge all the time.
Now, I have to
so
put
it's
this.
How you set that.
How, just, Alwyn, just maybe on a final point, I want to put these messages to you. Like, for instance, from John, who says that the way these people are talking, they think parents should be constantly apologising to their naughty children. What a load of nonsense. This listener says, so don't shout at children. How has that been working? Society is going down the drain. Like, I suppose if children are, you know, poorly behaved, naughty, bold, whatever word or phrase you want to use, Like, surely there is a time and a place for some little bit of raised voice.
Like I said to you, you know, this is what we're talking about, is there is a time and a place. It is the, you know, like we all snap, or, you know, like if you're trying to get a kid back into a car and they're, you know, off running around the fields, you know, and you might have to let roar at them or whatever. They're completely missing the point when they're making kind of comments like that, to be perfectly honest with you. Kids aren't by default naughty. That's the parent's interpretation of their behavior. So it's actually up to the parent to figure out how to communicate better with their child so that they can get the expected response and the desired behavior. I push it back on the parent all the time. Kids are not default naughty.
Alwyn Moran, neurodevelopmental therapist, founder of Cogni Kids. Gráinne, Jana, thanks a million to you all for getting in touch with us. The email, if you want to get in contact, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.